Hello everyone, welcome to module 2 of our Teaching with Technology course. My name is Victor Ngobeni, and as you can see, I'm joined again by my colleague, friend, Megan Radimir, and she's going to take you through this one. But just to give you a brief overview, as you can see on the screen, this course is all about how can teachers or educators make the best use of ICT resources to support teaching and learning. And we hope you're going to enjoy this one, and I hand over to Megan to take you through this one.
Thanks, Victor, and thanks for having me as part of this virtual academy. You've already said I'm Megan Rademeyer. I'm from SchoolNet South Africa, and I'm thrilled today to be talking about how to select ICT resources to support curriculum outcomes. Teachers are ultimately there to teach. They're there to convey subject knowledge and skills, and technology can help them to do this in a fun and exciting and engaging way.
Yeah.
So in this module, we'll talk about some examples of where teachers have really maximized the use of technology, and we'll give the teachers watching some ideas of what to keep in mind when they're selecting ICT resources.
It's great that you start off with some reflective questions. You want to take us through those?
Sure, Victor. So to kick this module off, these are good questions to think about. First of all, do you know where to find ICT resources for use in your classroom? Back when we were teachers, resources weren't as abundant as they are now, and often they were expensive. Teachers would have to buy software or buy digital content, whereas nowadays, armed with the internet and a few sort of pointers on where to look for good content,
resources are just a click away.
They certainly are, and now the challenge is actually deciding what's the most appropriate resource for use in the classroom. So that's the first question to consider. The second one is, are you able to select the best ICT resources for your students' needs? Maybe you found a great video clip, but you find that the language is not appropriate. And by that I mean maybe it's in English, but the English is too advanced for second language learners. So maybe you might want to use the visuals, but not play the soundtrack, and rather talk through it yourself. Or maybe you found a great resource, but you think that maybe it was a revision resource for older learners, and now you can use it to introduce the topic for younger students. So it's about using what you found, but adapting it and customizing it for your situation. The third question is, are you able to use ICT as a meaningful assessment strategy? Technology can certainly reduce a teacher's marking load, but a teacher still needs to decide, do they want students to do endless drill and practice activities, or can they use assessment and the power of technology to create a great collaborative project? Or a meaningful sort of opportunity for learners to create genuine texts and to share those with a wider audience. So we'll talk about some examples of those. And finally, we'll briefly touch on managing students' data easily and securely. So the question here is, are teachers able to do that? And if not, stay tuned or do look at the full course, the Teaching with Technology course.
But Megan, let's face it. the fact that technology is pervasive, is everywhere, the internet is there to provide us with resources. At the same time, it can be a bit challenging, or teachers feel a little bit overwhelmed. You know, like, where do you start? Like, I mean, I'm a teacher, I was just maybe at our school we have internet, but I know that I can find resources. But I hope there was a way in which somebody can guide me in terms of what is the process of finding these resources.
Victor, you're right. It's often very overwhelming.
Yeah.
I've heard it compared to trying to drink water out of a fire hydrant.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
So much content sort of races at you, yeah. it can be very overwhelming. So there's some challenges around using ICT resources, but a teacher can think quite clearly through a process. They can begin by defining the obstacles. Maybe at a school there's a challenge around bandwidth or the internet not being that accessible. So if that's a challenge, maybe a teacher wants to download a video in advance so that he or she is not reliant on the internet speed, and when they're trying to play a video, it keeps stalling.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a way of identifying an obstacle, assessing the risk that they might not be able to play it smoothly for the class, managing the risk by downloading it in advance, and finding and implementing the solution. To have it on a flash drive that you can play, that you can reuse the following year. Mm-hmm. If learners want a copy, you can give it to them. So that's a way of thinking through this quite logically.
And the great thing is it's a cycle. It's not a one-off thing. It's something that you keep doing, right?
For sure. So once you've solved the problem of how you're going to play a video in class, maybe the next problem is going to be there are not enough devices at our school.
Yeah.
So maybe you might think, okay, so that's a challenge. We've only got one computer lab. How can we use it effectively? And you may want to sort of team teach with another teacher. Say, I'll take half the children to the computer lab while you do another component of the project that doesn't require technology in the classroom, and then we switch next period. So that's a way of managing the risk and doing something constructive about it. Instead of saying, oh, we don't have one device per child, we're not even going to try.
Yes. And of course, the next logical thing would be, where do you find the resources? Now, how do we go about finding these resources?
Are you talking?
I'm a teacher, I'm a geography teacher. I know I can have a topic in mind. I know I can incorporate technology. But where do I start? Where do you normally start?
Victor, I think the best place to start is to think about what content you're trying to convey and what skills you're trying to teach.
And not starting with what technology can I use.
Not starting with, oh, I've got these tablets, I want to use them. It should be about what skills and knowledge you want to teach.
Yes.
So identify your curriculum goals, and then think about what different categories of ICT tools are there that might help me achieve these curriculum goals. Is there some software? Am I going to make use of Microsoft Office so that students can type an assignment? Am I going to make use of PowerPoint so that they can produce a presentation? Am I going to use media and graphics? Am I going to show them how to source copyright-free images off the internet and include those in their presentation? And am I going to make use of social learning? Am I going to encourage the students to blog about this process? Am I going to consider setting up a Facebook group or put something on Yammer or something on Twitter about the project that we're doing? Then the next thing is to find the ICT tools. And here a teacher could look at different websites or portals. And the Microsoft Educator Network is a great example of where to look, because that includes both ICT tools that a teacher could use, and I'll show some examples as we go on. But it also includes great lesson plans, learning activities, where a teacher has used technology effectively to teach some curriculum topic.
Yep.
And as a teacher, you could do a search by the topic you're trying to teach to see if somebody else has done something that you could use. And the bottom point, adapting resources, comes into this. Maybe it's not about taking something that another teacher has shared and using it exactly like that, but maybe taking it and using the idea or using part of it.
Yeah.
But at least getting a good start. Yes.
And you know what? Speaking of the Microsoft Educator Network, one of the great benefits of the portal is that teachers can download tools. And some of the tools or software that they can use in the classroom, some of the software is really easy to use but very powerful, like AutoCollage. You want to
Yes, autocollage is one of my favorites.
Yes.
Because it literally takes 2 minutes to download it from the Microsoft Educator Network and install it on a computer. And obviously it's free, as all tools are on the Microsoft Educator Network. And what's nice about this one is you don't even need the most up-to-date version of Windows. This one works on a desktop computer.
Yeah.
It's not a Windows 8 app. It works on most devices that schools have. You download autocollage, and once you've done that, you take the photos that you want to include in your collage and put them in one folder on your computer. You launch autocollage, you click on which folder of images you want it turned into a collage, you hit the button, and in front of your eyes, they swirl around, and poof, you have an autocollage.
Yep.
So, people have been making collages for years,
cutting out
old magazines or
getting
old
your
photos.
Hands dirty, which is a great thing. But
It's fun and it's exciting, but it makes a big mess, and maybe schools don't have the money to sort of print out photos, or they don't have access to old magazines that they can cut up. So this lets you do it digitally and at no cost.
And I like the fact that with autocollage, you can change the images positions for up to 40 times until you find the best that you're looking for.
Until you like what you see. You keep hitting redo until you like it. But the real power of autocollage is not that it's easy to make an autocollage. It's about that this can be used as part of a lesson. And I've got an example.
We have a lesson here, an example of a lesson here.
So
somebody that used autocollage in a real classroom example.
Yes. So this is Hafiza Mayat. She's a teacher from Gauteng in South Africa, and she's a primary school maths teacher. And she was teaching a lesson on symmetry, and encouraged her students to go online and find examples of symmetrical images and to make an autocollage with them. And you can see on the screen, on the left-hand side, two examples of autocollages that her students produced. If you look at those, each image included in the autocollage is a symmetrical image. Hmm. So she was able to test their understanding of a mathematical concept. But instead of doing this through a test or a boring worksheet, she got them to do something fun and engaging. And I'm sure if you go back and ask those learners now, is this a symmetrical image or isn't this, they'll know.
So Megan, my maths skills are so embarrassing to talk about in public. So what's symmetry?
So symmetry are images that are sort of mirror images. If you fold the image in half, both sides look the same. So the butterfly, for example, the wings on either side are the same.
Same, yes.
And each image is symmetrical. Another maths concept that I have to admit I had to ask Hafiza about this was tessellations, which is the example in the middle. She got her learners to go around the school and take photos of tessellations. And for the non-maths teachers, I've since found out that tessellations are interlocking patterns. So things like paving bricks, burglar bars, floor tiles, where it's patterns that knit together are all examples of tessellations. And by taking these photos and putting them in an autocollage, once again she was able to test her learners' knowledge of tessellations. And this is something that they're going to remember. When they're our age, if you ask them what a tessellation is, they'll still be able to tell you.
I also can tell you what tessellation is right now.
Well, there you go, Victor. For two English teachers, we're doing okay.
All right. And then, so What are the advantages of ICT tools? I mean, the advantages of using ICT tools to support learning. So do you want to go through that sort of
summary? There are numerous advantages of using technology. First of all, it's fun. It's exciting. Kids get excited about coming to class. In fact, some teachers will tell you on days where students know they're going to be using the computers or it's their class's turn to go to the computer lab, they have less absenteeism than on other days. But there are other examples of advantages that are listed here.
Yeah.
Technology makes learning more accessible to students with special needs. You can make the font bigger for a learner that doesn't see so well. You can get the text to read to a student who can't see at all. A teacher can record a lesson and can replay it, or can find an example of a great video clip and can show it in class. Show them things like a tornado that they maybe wouldn't experience firsthand, but you can find a video clip and you can bring it to class. It's also great for simulations. So a teacher doing a biology lesson who doesn't want to virtually...
Killer rats.
Exactly, or have sort of a whole lot of frogs being dissected on her desks. Or maybe a teacher who simply doesn't have the funds to access hearts or eyeballs for learners to dissect for real. You can find great online examples where students can do virtual dissections or simulations of things like the water cycle. Even on the Microsoft Educator Network, the virtual telescope, it's a way of taking learners to a virtual planetarium that they maybe wouldn't get to experience otherwise.
Take them to Mars.
For sure. Technology also enables teachers to do instant assessment.
Yes.
You can get the computer to instantly mark sort of answers that students have filled in, and it can let a teacher know, you know, these learners are doing well and these ones are struggling with this concept. And a teacher can then decide if she needs to reteach a topic. The materials can also be easily adjusted. If a teacher makes a PowerPoint deck, she can add to that every year, find new examples, realize that something needed more explanation, and can show and can add to that deck. And also, teachers can share their resources. If they've made something really special, they can share it with a wider community so that other teachers can use those resources.
Here's an example. Tell us about this one, about the teacher from Lesotho who used simple resources to achieve great things in an English lesson, class.
So this was one of our winners a year or two ago at the Microsoft Innovative Educator Expert competition. This is Kabelo Malatsi, and she's a high school English teacher at a very rural school, a school that doesn't have much in the way of resources.
Mm-hmm.
And she was teaching the Shakespearean play Julius Caesar. And even first language English speakers battle with Shakespeare. The language is difficult. The plays are set in a time and place that they're unfamiliar with. And she was thinking, how can she bring this play to life? So she got her learners to each take responsibility in groups for a different act of the play, to modernize it, to set it in Lesotho, and to act it out. They then dramatized the play in the class. They filmed it just using cameras in cell phones, no fancy equipment. And afterwards, they edited the play using Windows Live Movie Maker, which is another free download available on the Microsoft Educator Network. And they were able to put together their class's Lesotho modern day version of Julius Caesar.
So keeping the plots
The plot
flowing.
Was the same, the characters were the same. But by the end of this, not only had they had a lot of fun and realized that Shakespeare, sort of studying Shakespeare wasn't so bad, they all knew the plot, they knew the characters, they knew the themes. And it was then so much easier to understand the original version of the play. And I'm sure that learners will remember this. if you go and ask those learners now, a couple of years later, to tell you what the play Julius Caesar was about, I'm sure they would still be able to give you a synopsis of the play.
Great. What about using ICT, like technology, to assess learning?
Mm-hmm. So, Victor, you and I were both English teachers.
Yeah.
And we know the challenge of marking.
Yeah.
When you get that pile of scripts in and you think, how am I ever going to get through this?
Yes.
And technology can certainly help. Teachers can set up or use some of the online tools that are available that will mark answers for you. If it's things like multiple choice, true, false, one word answers, students can get instant feedback on how well they're doing. But what for me is more powerful than that is technology can be used to set up really meaningful projects so that you're not just assessing whether a student can recall information,
yes,
but you're encouraging them to use 21st century skills.
Like being creative,
To collaborate, to communicate. And learners are producing real texts that they then are able to share with a genuine audience. We both know that when you tell a student to write a letter of complaint, but they're not really going to send it off. And they know that the only person who's going to read
is the teacher.
They don't put that much effort into it. But if they know that that letter complaining about something is genuinely going to appear in the newspaper or on an online blog or in a public forum, they know that I'd better get my spelling correct. I'd better pay attention to my grammar because other people are really going to read this thing that I've produced. So technology gives you a real platform for sharing what learners have created.
You remind me of essays that we used to write in our days. Essays to the Kruger Park. So write an essay to the Kruger Park. Doesn't matter whether you've been there before or not. So what we used to do, that's not right. We used to take our brother's essays and just copy them.
Exactly. And that raises another point. If students are doing something for a genuine purpose, so if you are to take your example of the Kruger Park, if you want to do something about the rhino poaching situation and you're going to sort of really embark on a real campaign and people who follow you on social media are going to read that. It's maybe going to be in the press. You're going to get students in other countries thinking about the plight of the rhinos in the Kruger Park. And you really are producing this piece of writing for a genuine purpose about something that you feel quite strongly about. You'll also put more effort into it and maybe contribute to solving a real world problem at the same time as you're doing something just for a grade. We've got here some advantages of ICT assessment.
Yep.
It provides an opportunity for creativity. There's some efficiency and some time management about it. If it helps take the load off a teacher for marking some routine tasks, they've got more time to spend assessing tasks that a computer can't assess. It's also great for personalized work. Learners can really have an opportunity to do their own thing, something that's meaningful to them. There's great opportunities for collaboration, for students to work together within a class to produce group work, or to collaborate with students in another country on a collaborative project, or each telling the students in another country about themselves or about their country. There's also an opportunity for a variety of media to be used. So back when we were at school, English was assessed just by longhand writing.
Oh, yes.
Whereas now students can produce a short film, they can produce a photo story, they can produce a short sort of radio play, an MP3 file, as different forms of media that can be used for assessment.
And you know what? I think developers are also catching up. They are getting more creative. I saw the other day on the partners on the Microsoft Educator Network, a software called essay marker. So apparently it's something that you can use to mark an essay. And you know, you have to give it parameters, like tell it what to mark on an essay.
Okay.
Obviously this has to be a typed essay, and then kids send it to you, and this thing can help you
so,
to mark.
So it maybe takes a bit of time to set it up.
Yes.
But then it could really save a teacher time. And this maybe touches on the point I haven't mentioned, the formative approach, and it facilitates feedback. It's so much work for a teacher to mark a pile of essays that often they only will look at those essays once. Mm. Whereas if you've got something like Essay Marker to help, maybe that can sort of give students the first round of feedback so that they then have an opportunity to correct some errors before submitting a final draft to the teacher.
But once again, the assessment tool is as good as the teacher. I mean, if you don't teach properly, if you don't give a good task, the tools will never help you achieve your goals, right?
For sure. Yeah. And it's also about selecting a resource that's appropriate, not just something that you think, oh, this will save me the bother of setting a test or doing some marking myself.
You once told me you've used flashcards with your very own kid.
I have, Victor. My daughter was in grade one 2 years ago, and every week she had to do bonds. And so 1 week it would be bonds of five, and that would be 1 + 4 = 5, 2 + 3 = 5, 0 + 5 = 5. And we would have to drill bonds of five for a whole week. And then the next week it would be bonds of six. And every day she was expected to practice that week's bonds. And she got a little bored, and as the mom, so did I. And then I stumbled across flashcards. And I thought, well, here's the solution. I set up the deck of flashcards. My daughter would beg me to do her bonds. She'd say, Mom, turn on the computer. I want to do my bonds. Whereas she never was begging me to do maths homework before that. And when we turned it on, the flashcard would appear. She'd type in the answer, and then the next one would appear. And what was happening behind the scenes would be the flashcard program would automatically assess it. And at the end, as the parent or as the teacher, I could see this is how many she got right, this is how many she got wrong, and this is how long it took her to do the deck of flashcards. And the next day we could see, can she improve on that? Can she be more accurate and can she be quicker? And what was really clever was flashcards that she had got wrong the previous time would appear more frequently the next time until she started getting those right. And I could also add to the deck of flashcards. So when the next week it would be bonds of six, I'd go in and add some more flashcards, and the new ones would appear more frequently until she was getting the hang of those too. It was easy to set up my own deck of flashcards, but there also are decks of flashcards that other people have created and have already shared. So if a teacher was looking for a deck of flashcards on a common topic, elements of the periodic table, sort of simple reading words, colors, shapes, these are common topics. A teacher might find somebody else has beaten them to it and they can just use somebody else's flashcards.
Speaking of common topics, I see here you have a teacher from the Western Cape who did a lesson on HIV and AIDS, which is such a common topic.
So if flashcards was the simple one that gives you quick and easy feedback, this is the exact opposite. This is a lesson that took a longer period of time, and it really aimed to not only develop a student's content knowledge about HIV/AIDS, but also some 21st century skills about showing empathy for others, being able to communicate effectively with others and work in a group. So when this teacher said to her class, we're going to be doing some lessons on HIV/AIDS, they sort of rolled their eyes as only teenage girls can, and said, you know, ma'am, we've done this so many times. There's actually nothing we don't know about HIV/AIDS. And she said to them, okay, if you think you're such experts, here's your chance to share your knowledge with others. Make a short infomercial about some component of HIV/AIDS that you think others should know about. And the two young girls who are pictured here, they felt that living with HIV/AIDS was a challenge and that people still battled sort of prejudice in society and really faced some victimization. And they wanted to draw attention to this. So they made a short video called This is Nandi's Story, where they shared the story of somebody living with HIV/AIDS and the challenges that she faces. Not only has this short video been used to educate others, but it also covered a topic of their curriculum that they had to cover anyway. And by watching one another's videos, they covered what they had to cover, but produced a meaningful resource at the same time and built some skills. Another thing I'd like to point out is these two girls, according to their teacher, Nikki Wallace, were not usually the A students in the class. They weren't normally top of the class. When they were expected to sort of write tests or you know, sort of produce normal assignments. But here, when faced with a fresh challenge, a new type of assessment, producing something in a different medium other than just handwritten answers, these two girls were able to shine. And I think that's the true advantage of technology.
Yeah. To make learning more fun and more real. Yeah.
So
so that's it for this course, I think.
Victor, that's the end of selecting and using ICT resources appropriately. You're up next with Module 3.
I'm up next with Module 3, and I'll be talking about how technology can be used in different environments, that especially where a teacher is delivering a message to the learner, sort of a straight message, teaching a new concept or introducing a new idea, and the teacher is delivering a message probably from the front.
That sounds great, Victor. I do hope people will join us for the next module in our Teaching with Technology Virtual Academy. See you then.
All right.